Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text is the Old Testament lesson from Jeremiah 28. Jeremiah had the very unenviable task of proclaiming the Lord's disapproval to all of those who were still living in and around Jerusalem. For the Lord had called Jeremiah to deliver a stern prophetic message of impending judgment against sinful Judah for their unyielding impenitence. It was a much needed message of repentance that Judah would neither heed nor hear. Even though the Judeans' lives were filled with all kinds of vice and idolatry, the people refused to blame themselves for doing anything that would bring God's judgment upon them. And so instead, they conveniently blamed the prophet Jeremiah for his accusatory preaching and his dire predictions about the punishments from God that would soon befall this people. Even though the Judeans were guilty for turning to other gods, they simply did not want to hear it or own up to it. The people ignored Jeremiah's warnings from the Lord. But more than that, they began to despise Jeremiah for his messages, even though his messages were from God. His preaching seemed to drive people away and make the situation worse. The real problem, however, was not with Jeremiah's prophetic preaching. It was with the hearts of his hearers. For the tribe of Judah wanted above all else to believe that God was for them and not against them, despite their great impenitence towards God and their much preferred love of sinning over obedience to God. Therefore, they hated Jeremiah for shattering their illusion of peace with God with his prophetic words. Their rebellious response to his preaching the commandments was actually to sin more, not less. And so instead of exposing their sins and bringing about the desired repentance, the law in this case only seemed to harden their hearts and to strengthen their resolve to go on remaining happily in their sins. This is when another prophet named Hananiah appeared on the scene. Hananiah was also thought to be a prophet of the Lord. Hananiah, however, contradicted Jeremiah's prophecy of divine wrath and deserved judgment. And instead, he brought the people a very optimistic and hope-filled and inspiring message. His prophecies that were upbeat resonated much more with the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the surrounding environs than did Jeremiah's foreboding prophecies about Jerusalem's eventual fall as God's punishment and judgment against them. You see, Judah had already been besieged by the Babylonians. And after their victory, the Babylonian army had deported Judah's best and brightest citizens to Babylon, including Daniel. It had been hard pretending that everything in Judah was fine after this first deportation. But nevertheless, that's what they did. Hananiah's prophecies were appreciated because they helped maintain the illusion. For Hananiah declared that the worst was over, even though the worst was still to come. Hananiah told the people that the Lord would soon restore everything that had been taken from them. He predicted that the temple vessels that Babylon had carried off would soon be returned to their rightful place. Hananiah declared that everyone living in Judah and Jerusalem would soon experience an unparalleled peace and prosperity from the hand of the Lord. And so the people praised Hananiah's preaching because it was so affirming, so assuring, and so positive. And he was telling them, after all, what they wanted so desperately to hear. And so Hananiah's prophecy truly resonated in the hearts of the people. But then again, it was only because he was just repeating everything that the people wanted to be true. Hananiah's very positive message of peace and prosperity just made the people of Judah resist and resent Jeremiah's true call to repent or perish that much more. And yet Hananiah's sermons were nothing more than his own made-up predictions that Judah was due to receive good from the hand of the Lord. And so the Judeans liked Hananiah's sermons much better than Jeremiah's, and we can see why. The Judeans thought they truly deserved everything good from God, even though their hearts were idolatrous and continuously set on evil. Jeremiah, on the other hand, was a buzzkill for the Judeans, who were unconcerned about living in sins. Not because they believed the gospel, but because they chose to ignore the condemnations of the law. They blamed Jeremiah, somehow imagining that his negative vibe might eventually arouse God's judgment against them if he kept talking about it. Because of this, Jeremiah was despised and rejected by the people. The king of Judah even seriously considered having Jeremiah executed for treason. For Jeremiah had declared that the Lord had brought King Nebuchadnezzar to power so that God could punish the people of Judah through the military might of the Babylonians. This sets up the confrontation between Jeremiah and Hananiah. When Jeremiah comes face to face with Hananiah in the presence of the priest and of all the people, Jeremiah had recently heard Hananiah's optimistic prophecies that God was going to give Judah everything that their heart could ever desire or want without repentance. For Hananiah had prophesied a happy end to the conflict with the Babylonians, with nothing but smooth sailing and good times ahead. By this prophecy, Hananiah had seduced Judah into thinking that the Lord wanted to give them their best life now, even though they were living in soul-defiling sin and gross idolatry. And so Jeremiah's response is, "Amen. Hananiah, I hope all of your prophecies come true." Except for the fact that they won't. For the prophets that preceded you and me from ancient times prophesied war, famine, and pestilence as God's just response to the world's sin and its impenitence. And by skipping over all these hard sayings found in the prophetic words of Scripture, just to gain popularity with the people, Hananiah, you reveal that you are not a true prophet, but an imposter. But when unrelenting disaster comes upon those whom you have doomed by your deluded dreams, the Lord will vindicate me as the Lord's true prophet. For the Lord does not send into our midst those prophetic voices that we would often like to hear, but those that we need to hear. Now consider Jesus in today's gospel. Most churchgoers have this image of Jesus happily welcoming little children to come sit beside him, much like we do in our children's message. Or else they picture a caring and compassionate Jesus who is only there to cure us and to comfort us when needed. If you rarely read the four Gospels, you can maintain this rather flat, two-dimensional version of Jesus. You can imagine that all that harsh judgment stuff ended with the Old Testament, and that Jesus ushered in a new era of nothing but peace and love and happiness. However, you cannot maintain this peaceful, easy feeling Jesus if you actually read the words that Jesus said and the things he did. Jump forward to where Jesus says, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace on earth. I have not come to bring peace but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father and a daughter against her mother. For whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me." Now, if your version of Jesus is of a soft and cuddly Savior, who on all occasions is a friend of sinners, then these words of Jesus will short-circuit your very narrow perspective on him. For in the Gospels, Jesus says some very harsh and very hard things that are going to be very difficult for you to reconcile if you only know the softer side of Jesus. Some people only attend church to hear about this softer Jesus because he inspires them without ever confronting their sins. They want only this self-help guru Jesus who can help them improve their present lives in this life, not the Jesus who judges that we are unworthy of eternal life. You see, the deep-seated theological problem is that none of us gets to pick and choose his or her own personal and preferred version of Jesus. However you've imagined him, there is no Jesus except for the Jesus revealed to us in Holy Scripture. Just like Jeremiah and all the prophets that God ever sent to mankind, our Lord Jesus Christ was despised and rejected by men, even as you will be despised and rejected if you take up your cross and follow him. Just like Jeremiah, Jesus frequently preached, "Unless you repent, you will all perish." I think the problem is that we live in a consumer culture where we are used to being offered preferences and choices. If you've ever talked about church shopping, then you can be sure that your faith has been infected with this consumer virus. And so when it comes to God, many assume that they still get to pick and choose the portions of the Bible they like, and they're free to exclude the rest. In fact, many approach religion and faith in this very way. They will shop around until they find a preacher like Hananiah that preaches the message that they want to hear, which, by the way, is not necessarily the message that God wants them to hear. Such people will frequently become angered and offended when either Jesus or one of his prophets or one of his pastors presents a message that does not conform to their own way of thinking. Do they repent when they hear the hard message from the pulpit, calling them out for their sins and calling them to repentance? No, they simply change churches instead of changing their lives. Why did Judas' people choose Hananiah's message over Jeremiah's prophetic message from the Lord? Because Hananiah's appearance as a false prophet made the Judeans think they had a choice as to which message and which messenger to listen to. And naturally, they selected Hananiah's peace and prosperity gospel over Jeremiah's much more pessimistic, repent or you too shall perish, law message. And given the choice, who wouldn't? Except, my friends, this is not how it works. You and I do not get to choose what the Lord says to us through the voice of those preachers that the Lord sends to us. For the Lord has a twofold message for his people of law and gospel, of repentance and forgiveness, of judgment and grace. But it is the Lord alone who decides which his people need to hear and when, based upon their current spiritual condition, they need to hear it. For this reason, God's message and God's chosen messengers are not always that popular with those whose hearts are filled with a prideful unwillingness to repent. But the Lord chooses to address his people with threats and warnings of his punishment when they are living in impenitence and are unconcerned about their sins. And conversely, the Lord chooses to address the penitent, those who have become greatly alarmed by their sins and afraid of God's judgment, with the redemptive love and forgiveness that is found in Jesus Christ. We're really talking about flattering sinners. Flattering sinners sounds like gospel, but it's not, even though it implies God's approval. But it is a false and misleading approval because it is God's approval without repentance. Whereas the true gospel of God's free forgiveness in Christ truly grants God's approval and love, but only after each one of us sinners is brought to our knees by the law in true repentance. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes our limited understanding about God, continue to strengthen our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.